Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 10. I've been preaching about pictures of Jesus. Today we want to deal with another picture of Jesus, and that is Him as the Shepherd. So Christ the Shepherd is the title of the message, and we'll be reading in John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. Follow in your Bibles this morning as I read. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. And all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and have known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This is the commandment I have received of my Father. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the privilege to handle your word, and we ask that you might teach us this morning about Christ the Shepherd. May we be thankful if we know Jesus as our Savior, that you are our Shepherd. So may this be personal to us. And Lord, I pray if there's someone here who has never yet put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior, that today they might realize that without Him, they don't have life and they don't have a shepherd. And I pray that you'd speak to their heart today and help them to know that they need the Lord, and may today be the day of salvation for them. I ask for enablement to bring the message, and we ask that Jesus Christ might be honored and glorified through this message because it's about Him. And I pray, Lord, that your will be done. Thank you for everyone who's here. Bless us each way, each one, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The passage we've read this morning pictures Christ as the good shepherd. Those who follow him are called his sheep. Now, sheep are not the smartest animals, that's for sure. They are humble and dependent, and yet they can be prone to wander away and get into trouble, just like we do. They are not good at defending themselves, but instead they'll usually run when danger comes. They do not look for pasture. They just walk along eating whatever is available in front of them as they go. Sometime a sheep will be cast, C-A-S-T, which means that they will fall down, and they will actually roll over and sometimes roll over on their back. If a sheep is cast, they will die unless somebody comes along to help them. And I am told that a sheep, if he maybe goes to lay down and there's a hollowed out place, you know, a low place, and he lays down in that low place, and then he sort of rolls over, and then he can't get up. And sometimes that sheep will lay there, and if he gets all the way over and his feet up in the air, then it's impossible for him to get up, and somebody has to come along and help him. So you might say a sheep is dumb, defenseless, and dependent. They need a wise shepherd. But I remind you, before you laugh about sheep, God says, If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're one of them. You're His sheep, and He's your shepherd. Jesus is pictured as the shepherd in this passage, and the Jewish nation is pictured as the sheepfold. Look at verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. And he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep, to him the porter openeth the sheep, openeth the door. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. So here's a sheepfold, and this good shepherd comes up, and the porter of the sheepfold, who's in charge of the sheepfold, allows this shepherd to call for his sheep, and his sheep come out of the sheepfold, but other sheep are still there. His sheep come out of the sheepfold. So it's a picture of the Jewish nation, I believe, and that Jesus comes to the Jewish nation, and he calls for his sheep, for those to follow him. And those who hear his voice are those who believe on him and they trust him and they come out of the sheepfold and they join him and become part of his flock and he leads them and they follow him. Now, there are many in Israel who were not a part of God's sheep. They would not follow him. They would not believe in Jesus Christ. And so they remained in the Jewish sheepfold. But the Bible tells us in this passage that the Lord has other sheep. And he says he has other sheep in verse 16. He says, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold. I'm glad for that because I imagine that includes every Christian here. I don't know if there's any Jews here. I don't believe there are. If you are, that's great. And that would be wonderful to be a Jew and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. But if you're not a Jew, you're one of those other sheep. So he says, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, of the Jewish fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. I studied this and found out in the original language, in the Greek language, the word fold there appears twice in this passage, in our English translation here. It says, other sheep I have which are not of this fold. And he says, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. The second fold is a different word. It's not the word that's usually translated fold. It's the word that means flock. It's an entirely different Greek word. So the Lord says there's this fold of the Jewish nation. God brings sheep out of that fold, and they become a part of his flock. And so we are his flock. We belong to the Lord Jesus. So, if you're a genuine Christian, you are one of His sheep, and He is your shepherd. Now, let's consider our shepherd this morning. Let's look at the shepherd, the Lord Jesus, and see some things we can see from this passage and others about Him. First of all, we can say that He died for the sheep. Now, that's different. Usually, sheep die for the shepherd. I mean, sheep die, and they die, and they give their life, and it's for the shepherd. But this is the shepherd dying for the sheep. So when we talk about this shepherd, we have to understand this is a shepherd like no other one, and this one died for the sheep. Look at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Verse 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and lay down my life for the sheep. He gives his life for the sheep. Verse 17, therefore doth the Father love me because I lay down my life that I might take it again. He lays down his life for the sheep. So this shepherd died for the sheep. Now let's look a little bit about that death. His death for the sheep, we can say a few things about it. First of all, it was voluntarily. It was voluntary. He voluntarily laid down his life. Jesus was not a martyr. They didn't take him and take him up to the cross. He fought all the way and didn't want to go. No, it wasn't that way. They never would have been able to take him and put him on the cross if he hadn't submitted to them. I mean, he is God. And all he has to do is speak the word and they'd fall to the ground. In fact, we met them one time and he says, I am. And they all fell to the ground. I mean, he's the powerful God, and they can't take him unless he desires for them to. And so it was a voluntary death. Verse 18, no man taketh it from me. I lay it down, that is my life. I lay it down to myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. And so his death is voluntary. Jesus voluntarily died for us, the sheep. Also, his death was substitutionary. It says in verse 11 and verse 15, he died for the sheep. So he was dying for us in our place. Instead of us dying, he died. And so Jesus went to the cross of Calvary and he died on the cross for our sins so that we wouldn't have to die and we wouldn't have to take the punishment for our sins. It was voluntarily. And the Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so it was for us. It was a substitutionary death. Now let me clear up something. Some people take this passage and say, see, it says right there, Jesus died for the sheep. That's the only ones he died for. He didn't die for anybody else. Those people left in the fold, you know, the sheep came out of the fold. All those others in the fold, Jesus didn't die for them. And they believe in what's called limited atonement. But the Bible doesn't teach limited atonement. Yes, it says here he died for the sheep, but let's not forget it says other places he died for the world. There's nothing wrong with saying I died for the sheep. Because the sheep are part of those he died for, and he did die for the sheep, but he also died for all the world. The Bible says in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 1 John 2, verse 2, he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He died for the sins of the whole world. In 2 Peter, he's talking about false teachers, and he said they deny the Lord that bought them. And so Jesus died for false teachers. He died for everybody. So his death is substitutionary, but it's substitutionary for everyone. He died for you. Also, his death is sufficient. And this is shown to us in this passage because in verse 18, it says he rose from the grave. I mean, if he was still dead, that means his death wasn't sufficient. He was still paying for sins. If his death meant paying for sins and he's still dead, it's not paid for. It's not complete. But when he rose from the grave, it meant that it was complete. So his death is sufficient. He rose from the grave. Now, let's say some other things about this shepherd. He died for the sheep. He also knows the sheep. Now, that's a little scary in a way. He knows you. I don't know you. I mean, I know who you are and a lot of things about you. And some new folks today, I don't know anything about them. But, you know, God knows everything about all of us. He knows us. He knows everything. He knows more about you than you know about yourself. He knows you. And so he knows the sheep. Look at verse 14. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and have known of mine. I know my sheep. You know, you think about the 12 disciples. He knew them, didn't he? He knew Andrew. He knew Andrew. And Andrew brought his brother Peter. And then he knew Peter when Peter came. And he knew all about him. In fact, he knew what Peter was going to do before he ever did it. He knew all these people. He knew about Matthew, the tax collector. He knew about him. And yet he told him to follow him. He knew about Judas. Judas was the one who was false. You know, he was a pretender. But God knew about that. Jesus knew about Judas. And he knows about you. He knows everything about you. He knows his sheep. That means he knows your needs. He knows everything that you need. He knows your trials you're going through. You say, somebody said, well, nobody knows what I'm going through. Nobody understands what I'm going through. Well, Jesus does. He knows. He knows his sheep. He knows your feelings. He knows how you feel. He knows when you're hurt. He knows all about that. This is a shepherd that intimately knows his sheep. He knows about you. So when you follow this shepherd, you can understand. He knows your needs. He knows all about you. He knows your makeup. He knows your strengths and your weaknesses. He knows all about you. He knows your future. He knows what's in the future. When you have a wonderful plan and, you know, things don't go right and it seems like everything is stopped and you want to, why is this happening to me? You have a shepherd who says, I know. I know why it's happening to you. And the shepherd sometimes stops us because he knows if we continue down that trail that looks so good to us that there's going to be bad things ahead. And so he'll stop us. He knows what he's doing. God knows our future. When we understand that this shepherd knows everything about us and also he loves us, then it's just natural for us to want to get to know him. And he says, I know my sheep and am known of mine. And so if you're a true shepherd, if you're a true sheep of the true shepherd, the Lord Jesus, you want to know him And if you're truly His sheep, then you know some things about Him. You don't know Him as well as He knows you, but you know He's a wonderful shepherd and you can follow Him. So the shepherd knows the sheep. So He died for His sheep. He knows for His sheep. Then you can say something else about this shepherd. He cares for the sheep. Look at verse 12. But he that is an hireling, that's somebody hired to take care of the sheep, he is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf cometh and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth them. The hireling fleeth because he's a hireling and he careth not for the sheep. Well, there's a lot of people following the devil today. I mean, he thinks that they think that he'll give them what they want. And they go down this path and they're having such a good time and they think that they are really having it, what they need and what's going to make them happy. And they don't realize that their shepherd is a hireling. He's not in it for them. He's in it for himself. The only reason he leads you astray, by the way, is not to bless you. It's to get at God. He hates God. And if he can cause you to go to hell, he jumps with glee because he got one of God's people that he made, and he wants to get you, and you're made in God's image, and he hates God's image, and so he's against you, and he's a hireling. But the Lord is a good shepherd. And contrary to the, totally different from the devil, he cares for his sheep. And so you know if you have the Lord Jesus as your shepherd, he cares for you. He cares all about you. He knows all about what you're going through. He knows what your needs are, and he cares for you. He cared for you so much, verse 15 says, he laid down his life for you. How much does the Lord love you? Well, he stretched out his hands and said this much. As they nailed him on the cross, he loves you. He gave his life for you. The shepherd cares for his sheep. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 says, humble yourselves therefore into the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care on him. And here's the good part, because he cares for you. Give him your cares. Tell him your trouble, because you have a shepherd that cares for you. This shepherd that leads you as his flock, and you're one of his sheep. Maybe you're one of many, many millions, but he cares about you and he knows about you. He knows individually about you. He knows everything and he cares about you. You can bring your troubles to the shepherd. And he cares for you. You know that. He's a shepherd that cares. And then the Bible says that he's a shepherd that cares so much that in Hebrews chapter 4, he says, we have a high priest that's touched with a feeling of our infirmities. He understands what we go through. You see, he's a shepherd. But he also knows what it's like to be the sheep. Because one time he came to this earth, he became a man. And he came to this earth and he humbled himself and he walked like other men walk and he suffered what other men suffer and he knows what it is to be hungry and he knows what it is to have needs and he knows what it is to have friends turn against him. He knows all of those things. He knows what it is to cry. He knows what it is. He knows. He understands. And so this shepherd is unusual because he knows what it is to be where you are. In fact, throughout eternity, he still has a human body, a glorified body. And so he knows what it is to be a man because he's the God-man, but he's the shepherd that cares for his sheep. And then we can say another thing about the shepherd. He not only cares for his sheep, he provides for his sheep. Look at verse 9. It says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The Lord says, I'll not only save you, but I'll provide your needs. You can go in and out and find pasture. I am the one that takes care of you. I provide for you. I provide for the sheep. Let's go to Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is a wonderful passage. And it tells about the shepherd. That he's the one who really cares for us. But it tells about this shepherd. And he's the one who does provide for his sheep. Look at verse 1 of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because he's my shepherd, I shall not want. That means I'll not want for my supply. I'll have needs, but he'll supply all those needs. I'll not want because he'll take care of me. But also I think it means that he'll satisfy me. I'll never come to the shepherd and be disappointed and say, oh, I wish I had another shepherd. No, if you get to know the shepherd who knows you, if you get to know how much he loves you and cares for you and takes care of you and he knows all about you, you'll fall in love with the shepherd and you won't want another shepherd. I mean, I never want to give up Jesus for somebody else, do you? Because he's the shepherd and he's the one who provides for the sheep and his sheep will not want. But then let's go on in Psalm 23. His sheep have pasture. Look at verse 2. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. In preparation for the message, I read the book. A shepherd looks at the 23rd Psalm, at Psalm 23. Philip Keller, he wrote it back, I think, in 1970, 46 years ago. And it's a classic. But he wrote this because he was a shepherd. He knew what it was like to be a shepherd. He was a very accomplished man, but there were several years in his life where he was a shepherd. He was out there with the sheep, and he knew about the shepherd, about the sheep. And so he says, in this passage says, he maketh me lie down in green pastures. Philip Keller in his book says there's some things that'll make a sheep lie down. You know, sheep won't lie down if there's certain things that are in their life. And he says, sheep will not lie down if there's fear. If they're afraid. Sheep will not lie down if there's friction among the sheep. He said sheep will not lie down if there are pests that are bothering them. Flies flying around them or insects or something like or they've gotten an infection from something they've drank and it came into their bloodstream and it caused this infection and they are just really nervous and everything. They'll not lie down. So he said they'll not lie down if they fear. He said they'll not lie down if there's friction among the sheep. They'll not lie down if there are pests that are bothering. And they'll not lie down if they're hungry. He says sheep won't lie down if they're hungry. They'll be up eating. But when they are full, that's when they lie down. And then he talked about those things. Fear. I thought about that and looked up Hebrews chapter 13, you know. It says, I will not fear what man shall do to me, because the Lord has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So because the shepherd's always with us, we need not fear. I copied some things from his book, and I want to read them to you this morning about fear. He said, it's not generally known that sheep are so timid and easily panicked that even a stray jackrabbit suddenly bounding from behind the bush can stampede a whole flock. When one startled sheep runs in fright, a dozen others will bolt with it in blind fear, not waiting to see what frightened them. He said, ewes, heavy and lamb, when chased by dogs or other predators, will slip their unborn lambs and lose them in abortions. A shepherd's loss from such forays can be appalling. One morning at dawn, I found 9 of my choicest ewes, all soon to lamb, lying dead in the field where a cougar had harried the flock during the night. It was a terrible shock to a young man like myself, just new to the business and unfamiliar with such attacks. From then on, I slept with a .303 rifle and flashlight by my bed. At the least sound of the flock being disturbed, I would leap from bed and, calling my faithful collie, dash out into the night, rifle in hand, ready to protect my sheep. In the course of time, I came to realize that nothing so quieted and reassured the sheep as to see me in the field. The presence of their master and owner and protector put them at ease as nothing else could do, and this applied day and night. Isn't that interesting? Sheep don't lie down when they're afraid, and you won't rest when you're afraid. But if you'll understand that the Lord is always with you, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid because he's always, he said, I'll never leave thee nor or forsake thee. So these sheep were not afraid when they saw the shepherd there. And then also the friction among the sheep. He wrote interestingly about this. And about that he said, generally an arrogant, cunning, and domineering old ewe. Sorry, ladies, but that's a girl sheep. Generally, an arrogant, cunning, and domineering old ewe will be boss of any bunch of sheep. She maintains her position of prestige by butting and driving other ewes or lambs away from the best grazing or favorite bed grounds. Succeeding her in precise order, the other sheep also establish and maintain their exact position in the flock by using the same tactics of butting and thrusting at those below and around them. Because of this rivalry, tensions and competition for status and self-assertion, there is friction in a flock. The sheep cannot lie down and rest in contentment. Always they must stand up and defend their rights and contest the challenge of the intruders. Hundreds and hundreds of times I've watched an austere old ewe walk up to a younger one, which might have been feeding contently or resting quietly in some shepherd spot. She would arch her neck, tilt her head, dilate her eyes, and approach the other with a stiff leg gait. All of this was saying in unmistakable terms, move over, out of my way, give ground or else. And if the other ewe did not immediately leap to her feet in self-defense, she would be butted unmercifully. Or if she did rise to accept the challenge, one or two strong thrusts would soon send her scurrying for safety. This contentious conflict and jealousy within the flock can be a most detrimental thing. The sheep become edgy, tense, discontented, and restless. They lose weight and become irritable. But one point that always interested me very much was that whenever I came into view and my presence attracted their attention, the sheep quickly forgot their foolish rivalries and stopped their fighting. The shepherd's presence made all the difference in their behavior. And you know, there's been churches that have been torn apart because sheep in the church were trying to domineer over other sheep and getting mad if they didn't get their way, and they act just like he's talking about. But what would remedy all that if all of those sheep would realize the shepherd's here? The shepherd's watching. The shepherd knows me. He knows my intent. He knows my heart. He knows why I'm saying what I'm saying. He knows the motive behind that. The shepherd's here. And sometimes we lose sight of the fact that the shepherd is with us. And so contentions arise among God's people. You remember the book of Philippians. Paul said, I beseech you, Euodias, and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me. Here are good laborers for Christ, but they got at each other and they need to be of the same mind. And he said, I beseech you to help those women because they can't get along. And you know, when people can't get along, it causes trouble in the flock. And so the sheep can't rest and they can't lie down when there's trouble going on in the flock. But then also, he mentioned pests. Well, pests are the flies and all that, just getting at the sheep. And I won't quote this morning, but he talked about some of the instances of that. But then the other thing was hunger. Green pastures. Psalm 23 says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He maketh me to lie down. Well-fed sheep lie down. When we're well-fed by the Word of God, and we know what God says, we believe what God says, and we're feasting on His words, and we're well-fed sheep, spiritually speaking, we can rest. We can trust the Lord. Things can be going on all around us. There can be enemies around us, but we know the shepherd there is there, and we've learned from His Word that we can trust Him, and so we don't need to be afraid, and so we go ahead and we eat of His Word, and we can rest. And so it is with sheep. He says, in my ranching operations, one of the keys to the entire enterprise lay in developing rich, lush pastures for my flock. On at least two ranches, there were worn out, impoverished fields that either bare or infested with inferior forage plants. By skillful management and scientific land use, these were soon converted into flourishing fields, knee-high and rich green grass and legumes. On such forage, it was common to have lambs reach 100 pounds in weight in within 100 days from birth. The secret to this was that the flock could fill up quickly, then lie down quietly to rest and ruminate. A hungry, ill-fed sheep is ever on its feet, on the move, searching for another scanty mouthful of forage to try and satisfy its gnawing hunger. Such sheep are not contented. They do not thrive. They are no use to themselves nor to their owners. They languish and lack vigor and vitality. And let me remind you, Christians, when you get away from the Lord and you run after all the pleasures of the world and try to satisfy yourself with the things of this world, you will not be satisfied and you will not be full. You will not be full and you will not be able to rest. But when you come to the place when you feast on God's Word and you believe Him and you trust Him, you're able to rest and you can lie down in green pastures. Well, he says that, so he gives them pasture. In providing for them, he also gives them water. It says in verse 2, he maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. I'm told that sheep don't find it hard to drink from troubled streams, but they like to drink from still waters. And so he leadeth me beside the still waters. Waters in the Bible speaks of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 4, you know, remember he told the woman, I'll give you water so you'll never thirst again. And it'll be like a well of water springing up inside of you. And that's the Holy Spirit who lives inside the Christian, and He'll satisfy our thirst. The Bible also pictures the Word of God as water. That we have the water of God's Word, and the water of God's Word helps us to grow and helps us to be satisfied. And so it is that the Lord provides for us what we need. And what we need is so often found in God's Word to us. And then another thing we can say about the shepherd is he leads his sheep. In John 10, verse 3, it says, he leadeth them out. In verse 4, he says, he goeth before them and they follow him. In Psalm 23, he says, he leadeth me beside the still waters. Verse 3, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So this shepherd leads his sheep. He leads them where they should go. And our Lord does that for us. He is our good shepherd, and He leads us where we need to go. He leads us beside the still waters. He restores our soul. Restore our soul means that sometimes we stray off. You know, every Christian has done that. We've strayed away from the shepherd. We've got out of fellowship with the Lord. And so the Lord has to bring us back and to the fold, to His flock. And so we're not wandering off. And He'll have to correct us sometimes, but He'll do that because He restores our soul. If the shepherd finds the sheep cast and he's laying on his back and the shepherd comes up and he restores that sheep, he picks up the sheep, turns it over and holds it for a while till it maybe rubs its legs and until it gets so they can move and then it scurries off. But He restored the sheep. The Lord sometimes does that to us. And you know, sometimes if you find yourself getting away from church and you don't come to church anymore and you don't get the Word of God and you don't get the fellowship with God's people and you don't get the warm embrace of God's saints saying, it's so good to see you and how are you doing and I've been praying for you. And we don't get that encouragement. Sometimes we stray off and we need to be brought back to the Lord. He needs to restore our soul. And the Lord says He'll do that if we allow Him to lead us. Proverbs 3, trust the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. He leads us. He directs us. He does it through the Word of God. Psalm 119, 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Word of God tells us where to go and what to avoid and how to walk for Him. It's the Word of God that we need, and the Lord leads His sheep. And He does it many times through His Word. And then He protects His sheep. Look at verse 12 of John. It says, a wolf comes. In John 10, He talks about the wolf. The wolf comes, and the hireling, what's he do? Well, he sees the wolf, and well, he doesn't want to tangle with the wolf, so he runs off and leaves the sheep, and the wolf gets the sheep. And you know, we need to understand that we have enemies. We have an arch enemy. He's called the devil, and he's out to destroy your soul. Peter says he walks about seeking whom he may devour. He's like a lion walking about seeking whom he may devour, and he wants to destroy you. But the Lord is there to protect the sheep. He says in verses 4 and 5 of Psalm 23, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. When does he fear no evil? He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, that could mean that you go through death. It's good for the Christian to know that we can walk through death. We don't have to fall. I mean, death is what? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. It's a fast walk. I mean, it's immediate. You leave this place and you go to be with the Lord, but you're still alive in Christ. You really didn't die. You didn't separate from God at all. You died and went to heaven. But maybe it doesn't just talk about that. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I read where some of the best streams, you know, are found, and you all know that without reading about it. You know, some of the best streams are found in the lowland. If you find water in the hills, it's usually rushing down the hill. But the quiet streams are found in the lowland. Well, the lowlands are also where the rocks are and the cliffs are and the danger is and the lion or the bear or the wolf hides to devour the sheep. And the Lord leads us there through the valley of the shadow of death. Possibility of death all around us. And the Lord leads us through that valley. And I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Why? Because the Lord can handle the enemy. He can handle the devil. What's the Lord tell us? He says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. The devil's afraid of our shepherd. And so he will lead us and he'll provide us and provide for us and he will protect us. Also, it tells us that he will comfort his sheep. John 10, verse 10 says, he'll give us life abundantly. You see, abundant life is when you enjoy what you have in the Lord. And it's so comforting to know that. It's so comforting to know that, yes, I'm going through the valley. I'm going through troubles. I'm going through trials. I'm going through things that would undo me and do me in. I'm going through things that I cannot handle myself. But I know I have a shepherd. He's experienced. He knows all about me. And the enemies are no match for the shepherd. And so I have comfort in knowing that. And he brings comfort to my soul and gives me life abundantly. It says in Psalm 23, verse 4, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What's the rod and the staff got to do with comfort? Well, the shepherd in those days, they would carry, because they were out in the field, they would carry two things. They would carry a rod and they'd carry a staff. And I read where that sometimes the rod was a small tree that they dug up. And at the base of the tree, when it went down into the ground, there was the starting of the root system, and it was strong, and it was such that it was hardened. And so they would cut that out, and there would be this big knot like on the bottom, and then the stem would come up, and they would cut it off, and they would use that as their club. And that was their rod. And so if the enemy came along and they would have the club, they were good at throwing that club. You know, with the base, the heavy base, they would throw that like a spear, and that club would hit the enemy, the wolf or the lion, and drive them away. Or they could hold it and they could swing it. And that rod, that was a comfort to the sheep. Why? Because the sheep knew the shepherd could handle the enemy. They didn't have to be afraid because they were close to the shepherd, and the shepherd could handle the enemy. But then also he had the staff. The staff was the common, what we call the common shepherd's staff. It had the crook on the end. And you've seen that in pictures. And there's the staff that comes up and then the crook over on the end. And they would walk with that staff. That staff was used for the sheep. The club, the rod was many times used for the enemy, but the staff was used for the sheep. And the staff would be used if the sheep fell down over an embankment. The shepherd could come over and with the hook of the staff, he could reach down and get the sheep and bring it back up. It was used sometimes where he could see the sheep going astray a little bit, and he would get up close and he would reach out with that and he would get a hold of the sheep and pull it back. Sometimes the lambs would be there and they would be very young and they got separated from their mother because of all the sheep around, all the little lambs. But the shepherd knows the sheep. And he knows who the mother is. And so he would take the crook of that staff and he would reach out and get a hold of the lamb and pull it back over close to its mother and be reunited with his mother. Sometimes the staff, I understand, was used just to help the sheep know the presence of the shepherd. And that is, the sheep would be going along and the shepherd would walk up and just lightly put the staff against the side of the shepherd, of the sheep, and the sheep would know that's the shepherd. And sometimes it was necessary for the shepherd to take the staff and bring the sheep in close to him because the sheep needed his presence. The staff was for the sheep. And he says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Aren't we glad we have a shepherd who can handle the enemy? I mean, the enemy's no match for him. We don't have to be afraid of the devil. We resist him and he flees from us because he's afraid of the shepherd and his rod. And aren't we glad we have a shepherd who gently takes his staff and brings us back in line, lifts us up when we need to be, brings us close to him, makes us know of his presence because he is our shepherd and he comforts the sheep. And then also we notice that the shepherd does something else, and that is he blesses the sheep. Now, all of those things we mentioned are blessings, sure. But in Psalm 23, he says it like this. He says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I mean, that's a blessing, you know, to have a table spread in the presence of your enemies. You don't have to quit eating. You don't have to quit having the things that you need because the enemy's present, because the Lord will take care of the enemies. The shepherd will take care of the enemies. And so there's grass there, but there's a lion or a bear over here. You go ahead, sheep. You can have the grass. I'll take care of the enemy. What a blessing it is to be able to, in this world with so much wickedness all around us, to rest in the shepherd. Be blessed by the shepherd. Then he says, thou anointest my head with oil. Thou anointest my head with oil. The shepherd sometimes would carry a bag of oil or a bottle of oil. And that would be used to put on the sheep's head, maybe to help him with all the flies that were around him. Or maybe it'd be used to, if the sheep got a cut or something, to help heal that cut. But he showed his love for the shepherd by anointing his head with oil. And then he says this, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now you might be going, as God's sheep this morning, you might be going through a rough time. Maybe you come into the church this morning and your heart is troubled and you're heavy. Like Phyllis sang, you have an unspoken request. You can't tell anybody about it. But let me tell you something, your shepherd knows. He knows about it. And you can tell him. And you can know beyond any doubt that for the rest of your life, surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life because you have the shepherd. And your shepherd is a good shepherd. And he'll take care of you. And then he adds this, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So life is good, but the Bible says it's going to get better. As I've said many times, you know, sometimes people say, well, I'm getting old now. Boy, I remember the good old days. Boy, it was good. I wish I could go back to those days. And the best is behind me. But the Christians then say, no, I'm approaching the ideal age. And that is to be forever young with Jesus. The best is yet to come. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I tell you, if you have Jesus as your shepherd, you need to understand, who is it? Who is this shepherd anyway? Well, he's the one that died for the sheep. He's the one that knows the sheep. He cares for the sheep. He provides for the sheep. He leads the sheep. He protects the sheep. He comforts the sheep. He blesses the sheep every day and will forever and ever. Who is this shepherd? Well, the Bible describes him in three ways. He's the good shepherd. This passage tells us in John 10. He gives his life for the sheep. He tells us in Hebrews chapter 13, he's the great shepherd. The great shepherd rose from the grave. I mean, he gave his life for the sheep, a good shepherd, but he's the great shepherd. He conquered death. He rose from the grave. And then also the Bible tells in 1 Peter chapter 5, he's the chief shepherd. And what's the chief shepherd? The chief shepherd comes for his sheep. So he died for his sheep, he rose for his sheep, and he comes for his sheep. Who is this shepherd anyway? Well, Psalm 23 tells us, the Lord is my shepherd. Who's the Lord? Jehovah. Jehovah God. He's my shepherd. And that is Jesus. There's that mystery of the Trinity, you know, the three persons eternally existing as God. One God eternally existing in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All of them love us. All of them care for us. And the good shepherd is Jesus who came down to die for us. But he says, the Lord is my shepherd. I walk out on a starlit night and look up into the heavens. And I see the grandeur of it. But I can only glimpse part of it. A very small part of it. But I realize as I study all that's out there. And I've become acquainted with a little bit of what is out there. I realize that as far as the telescope can see, the telescope has never reached to the end of the universe. As far as it can see, it was all just finger play to God. When I consider the heavens, the works of thy fingers. That's who my shepherd is. He's the great God of the universe. Now I ask you, do you need to fear if he's your shepherd? Never. You don't need to be afraid because he is your shepherd. But I ask you another question. Is he yours? Is he your shepherd? Have you come through that door of salvation by accepting Jesus as your Savior? Have you ever come to the place where you say, God, I'm an undeserving sinner, but you died for my sins on the cross of Calvary. I believe that. I believe that you rose from the grave, and I want you to be my Savior. I want you to forgive me my sins and be my Savior, and I want to love you forever because of what you've done for me. Lord, I accept you as my Savior. I receive you. Have you ever done that? If you haven't, you're not his sheep. But if you have, you're his sheep, and he's your shepherd. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for reminding us of our shepherd. I pray, Lord, if there's somebody here who cannot say beyond any doubt that Jesus is their shepherd, I pray that today they will trust him before it's too late. They'll come to the place where they put their faith in you and say, Lord, I want you to save me. I believe in Jesus, and I want to receive him as my Savior. May they do that today. As we give an invitation, Lord, may they be willing to come and say, by coming, yes, today I want to receive Christ as my Savior. I'm not ashamed. I want these people to know about it. Lord, help them to do that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.